In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I am your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush one more day. Hey, good news, everybody. The man, the legend, John Rush, will be returning to Rush to Reason tomorrow on Friday. But today, I am joined by my overlord, my taskmaster, my wife, Corey Pate. How are you?
I am here. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm feeling the love.
It was a little crazy this morning, so I haven't really seen you yet today.
I know, because I've been in show prep.
I know.
I've been doing this. Okay, well... That was a whip. You know, get used to hearing that. One more time, Charlie. Yeah!
This is a pretty common occurrence in our household. It's true.
It really is. That's why I wear 17 shirts.
Well, you've gotten good calluses over the years.
I have. Okay, well, folks, we're waiting on this blizzard that's supposed to be coming. It's beautiful out. They keep pushing it back and shrinking it. It's becoming like Y2K, if you notice this.
Yes, I have. The other day I saw a report. It said 2 to 5 feet for the Denver metro area. All going to die. And then today it's like, well, it might snow on Saturday.
Well, yeah. They're still saying it's going to be at least a foot of snow that I'm going to make you shovel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be a little hard on your arms. But they are saying probably 1 foot to about 18 inches now in the Denver metro area. If you're on the west side, you could be getting hit 18 to 24 inches. Obviously, if you're in the mountains, you're already getting clobbered. But for those of us down here, those flatlanders, I'm not seeing a thing. It's beautiful.
It's not too bad outside. And honestly, I'd rather make a high school kid rich. So
yes, we give them money.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it.
Exactly. Okay, by the way, have you heard that people have started hoarding again?
I have. I think it's ridiculous.
What did you hear?
So I keep seeing these posts on Facebook from, you know, across the Denver metro area about how Costco is being overrun and there's these huge long lines, and it's like reliving the beginnings of COVID last year when everybody was hoarding everything in sight. And I'm just like, it's a snowstorm.
But we did it. We did. We went out last night, and I'm actually on surveillance camera at Sam's Club holding this nice little old lady's arms behind her while Corey grabs the toilet paper.
I think I missed that one.
I was proud of it. I was actually proud of it. I mean, she was strong. But you know what I really like is that video. It's very slimming. I look great.
Well, that's unusual. Usually cameras add 10 pounds.
No. It made me look great. I was arrested, of course. But I mean, okay. I look good as they took me in.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, people are actually hoarding. That is not a myth. That's happening.
I know. But
right now, people are packing into Sam's and places. Folks, it's snow. I just want you to know, coming from Wisconsin, we called this a Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's not a big deal. But here, they're
yeah,
panicked.
And I guess that's why I don't understand. Because growing up, you know, my family was also from Wisconsin, North Wisconsin, where the nearest grocery store was 20 miles away. And so they always had food in the house. They always had milk. They always had bread. They always had butter. I mean, meat. We were always prepared.
Did you guys have like your latest kill on the table, an elk strewn out across the table every night?
Not exactly.
We did.
Oh.
No, we didn't.
I didn't think so.
No. I was in southern Wisconsin, which is very suburban.
Yeah, no, mine were in the middle of nowhere in northern Wisconsin.
I have no outdoor skills.
Where they
at
actually
all.
Did have deer in the freezer.
You could let me loose in the wild, I would literally be dead in 20 minutes.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Okay, are you ready for the question of the day?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, first up, the impossible question of the day. We're going to do it with yesterday's first. And once again, folks, if you have any answers for these, go to the KLZ 560 Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. Yesterday, 38% of parents look forward to this when having a baby. They look forward. Now, I would have thought things like, you know, first steps.
Sure, I was going to say memories.
Yeah,
you know,
first words,
mm-hmm.
Right? Mama, dad, dada, Andy is king.
Not going to happen.
Those were mine. Uh-huh. Those were my first words. I was very, very aggressive as a kid. But no, what would your first thing, what would be the thing you would look forward to with kids? 38% said this, and you're going to be shocked. New baby smell. What is it? What are you buying, a car? I have no idea. What is a new baby smell? Are you kidding? You've held a lot of babies.
I love holding babies. They're so cute and squishy. They do have a very unique smell.
They do?
They do. Wow. I can't even describe it, but yeah, I could see that, but I don't think that would have been in my top 10, like, looking forward list as a new parent.
But you're really into holding them. I just point at them and yell freeloader.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, all right. Are you ready for today's?
Okay, go for it.
Okay, when asked what major scientific breakthroughs they think they'll see in their lifetime, get that?
Okay.
When people are asked, okay, what major scientific breakthroughs do you think you'll see in your lifetime? 41% of people said blank. And here's the hint, seafood.
Seafood.
So they're thinking in their lifetime, 41% are thinking something to do with seafood, that there will be a big major scientific breakthrough. Charlie, you got anything? He is looking stumped. I'm thinking like lobster and crab that you can catch already shelled. What do you think?
That would be convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah, shellless lobsters. Okay. I don't know, unless it's like has to do with allergies, because I know a lot of people are allergic to them, maybe.
Oh, yes. Something that basically deals with seafood allergies. I have never thought of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's 41%, though, that's pretty high. What about, I was thinking maybe an easy way to catch them.
Maybe.
But 41% wouldn't think of that.
Well, if you're Bill Gates, you might want to like find an artificial way to manufacture them.
Yes. No.
No? Okay.
Okay, I got nothing. So, folks, I got nothing. Corey's got nothing. We got nothing. Charlie's absolutely got nothing. He looks very confused in there. And if you have any answers for us, please, KLZ560 Facebook page. But first, before we move on, we got to do the Darwin Award of the Week.
Okay.
And this comes in from Jersey Joe, our caller, Joe Lactancy. It is very funny. The City Council of Los Angeles mandated... This is real, okay? A $5 per hour hero pay bump in the pay of all grocery store workers in Los Angeles County. So all the grocery stores, they actually passed this. They mandated that if you, all your workers in a grocery store in LA County, you have to pay them $5 extra an hour because of hero pay.
Okay, do they get capes to go with that?
Yes, they do.
Okay,
yes,
well, at least they get capes.
Yes, and they do have superpowers, the whole thing.
Wow.
I mean, for that much money, you could probably buy them some. Well, apparently they didn't realize that operating margins for grocery stores is in the 2 to 3% range.
Okay.
We go in and buy, you know, newsflash to the world. All those rows and lights and heat and, you know, the markup on everything they've got to pay to get these products there, all the work that they have to do. It's expensive.
Well, it is. And you think about all of the waste, too, because food is, it's going to expire. It's going to spoil. You can only have it on the shelf or in the case for a certain amount of time.
Right. So basically, they're insane.
Yeah.
And what was the result? We'll just give it real easy. In response, Kroger, you know, they own King Soopers, City Markets, that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They announced they will be closing 3 more stores in L.A. County in the upcoming months. Congratulations, L.A. City Council.
Oh, my goodness.
You morons. You just closed down 3 stores and killed a bunch more jobs as if you had them anyway. Everybody is fleeing that state as they would a burning building. And now they just closed down 3 more businesses. And by the way, the ones that even stay open, I'll bet you they cut back.
Well, they probably cut back and they probably raise prices, too, which is the last thing that you want to do right now when people are short of funds because they can't go to work because your mayor and your governor have everything shut down.
Yes. So anyway, there you go. Darwin Award of the Week. I think they win it hands down. Okay, let's go to break. Up next is Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Right now is a great time for home improvement since this is the quiet season for contractors. It is, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, you can get them a lot easier. But you still need money, folks, so call Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage. He'll set you up with today's super low rates. Call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, up next is a good shop. A good shop is on the cutting edge. They have outstanding equipment, technicians, but also a mobile estimating tool on their website, so listeners can get estimates through their mobile app. It's great, right? So have this number handy, 720-541-7697, or find them at klzradio.com. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
You don't need to schedule an appointment or drive anywhere for a free estimate from a good shop. Other than the actual collision itself, scheduling an estimate might be the most stressful part of auto body work because you don't have time for it. You're already worried about how much the repairs will cost. You're worried about how long your vehicle will be out of commission, and you still need to figure out whether or not you should make an insurance claim because you're worried about your premiums going up. Al Sturm, owner of a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, has always looked to the future, providing new, different, and better services than the corporate conglomerates. Click on the mobile estimate button at klzradio.com/collision and enter your phone number to start taking photos for your free virtual estimate from a good shop. Certified collision repair worth referring. Mention KLZ Radio in your estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And you have two Pates for the price of one today. Corey Pate, my lovely bride, is with me.
Hello.
Hello. How long have you been enslaved in this relationship?
Well,
I mean, happily married.
Let's see. Almost 18 years.
Almost 18 years. We're waiting for Robert Rector, and we're going to be discussing, I think it's the new EITC thing that the Biden administration. Have you noticed that everything they do basically just throws money at people?
Well, it does. And, you know, after going through the Trump years, when I saw there were more jobs than there were workers, people want to work. People want to earn their way, from what I saw, for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Early Trump years, everybody forgets. We dropped the corporate income tax and everything, got the jobs rolling, and everybody was loving the workplace.
Oh, yeah. And the usage of food stamps was dropping like crazy. Welfare needs were dropping. And then, of course, 2020 came along, and that all went history.
Exactly. We had several million. You know, people forget that Barack Obama had record numbers of people on food stamps. Trump got them off food stamps, several million. But now, someone who has never put anyone on food stamps because he's a smart capitalist, Robert Rector from Heritage joins us. Robert, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. Okay, you have a new article out in The Hill. And this, I just got to say, this looks brilliant. More cash for childless workers, a poor way to help the poor. Sir, can you give us a breakdown of this?
Yeah, well, there are certain people that just can't get by in life without trying to unnecessarily expand the welfare state. And so we have massive expansions of the welfare state that are in the COVID relief bill that actually have nothing to do with COVID relief and are intended to be permanent expansions of an already very large welfare system that we have.
Can you give us an example?
Well, one of these is that we have a program called the Earned Income Tax Credit, which has nothing to do with taxes. It's primarily a cash grant program to supplement the work of low-wage parents. And there's actually, you can argue that there's a need for that because parents who don't make very much money may have trouble supporting their kids. But the left is upset about that because we don't give a similar subsidy to low-wage workers who don't have any children to support. And these people primarily have low incomes because they don't work very much. And so what they want to do is start giving a large amount of cash to these individuals just because they don't currently get much of anything from the government other than medical care. And so what they do is they say, well, you currently give them about $500 a year. We're going to raise this to $1,500 a year.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
And that costs about $9 billion a year to the taxpayers. But the rationale is that allegedly the target is that, let's say you have young, poorly educated minority or white workers, that they're young adults, teenagers. They haven't really gotten into the labor market. They haven't started an upward course. And this is going to kind of bribe them to get into the labor market and move upward. The problem is that we have had two large random assignment control evaluations of this program. This is where you basically create a model program and you take a population, you split it in half by chance, and half of them get the benefit, half of them don't. And of course, again, this is supposed to dramatically increase the number of these young workers who are going to get jobs and they're going to start working and
right.
Everything is going to be fine. Had no effect at all. Okay.
They just took the money. Basically,
they took the money. You wouldn't blame them for
no.
that. I would blame the academics who invented this nonsense, and so. But it didn't increase their employment. And among the ones that you would really be concerned with, like say a guy who just got out of jail as a two-time loser, this is a person that really does have trouble finding work. Had no effect on them at all. No earnings increase. No nothing. And despite the fact that the left had been advertising this and running these elaborate mathematical models about how this was supposed to have this huge effect, that's one reason why these kind of scientific evaluations could be very useful, because they deflate all of these pretentious claims. All it did was spend money. There was no increase in employment to speak of, nothing in earnings, no poverty reduction, nothing that was claimed for the program. And then in particular, the people that are getting this, which would be some millions and millions of people that would get this, are not particularly poor. They actually live in households with other people that have a lot of money, either their parents or a relative, or they've got a boyfriend or girlfriend they're living with. And they have low incomes primarily because they're not working very much. They make $10 or $12 an hour. But they're working, maybe 500 hours a year, spending a lot of time doing things that aren't terribly constructive, and they're actually not even that young. So they have low incomes because they don't work very much. This thing is supposed to help them work more. It doesn't do that. It just gives them money. Just a totally stupid program brought to you at taxpayers' expense, and they certainly want to make this a permanent change.
Yeah, Robert, it seems like every time they put together these elaborate formulas, these Democrats, mm-hmm. these formulas never take into account human nature. Okay, bottom line, if I give somebody a lot more money to do the same thing, they're not going to do, mm-hmm. They're not given an incentive to do more of it. Okay,
right.
Or, like redistribution of wealth. If I take money from one person to the other, the first person's embittered, the second one becomes dependent, and neither of them are more productive. I mean, yeah. I just don't understand. None of these things take into account human nature, and now you're going to triple the amount that you're going to give them. And by the way, is this with kids, or is this just the earned income?
This is actually
just the EIT
without
side.
Kids. So it's like the group that least has any need for this assistance. Now, for people with kids, they have an even worse policy. Okay.
Yeah. What's that?
So, what they do is we currently give, say, $2,000 a year in cash to lower-income parents with kids, but you have to work in order to get that, right? So now they've decided to raise that to $3,000 in cash per child, and they've removed the work requirements from it entirely.
Whoa!
This is called the Child Credit, and it's a cash grant. It will cost the taxpayer $80 billion a year. That's on top of $500 billion that we already spend providing cash, food, housing, and medical care for lower-income families with kids. And this program is there to help support lower wage working families to support their kids. The left has never agreed with that. They don't believe in work requirements. They don't believe that people should even be halfway self-sufficient. So this program, this new policy put in place by Biden, removes the work requirement. And now every family where there's no work, which is predominantly single-parent families, they're going to get $3,000 or per child, $3,600 if it's a younger child. And that's on top of roughly $2,000 for each child that they get from the food stamp program, around $3,200 per child that they get from the Medicaid program, around $1,000 from other nutrition programs, and averaging out what they get in from housing, not everyone gets housing, maybe another $2,000 or so. So altogether, a non-working single mother will be getting around $11,000 per child from the taxpayer for every child in the family, and they'll get that every single year. And in response for that, we do not require them to do even 1 minute of any constructive activity during the course of a year.
So, Robert, you're basically saying that they can make a really good income. So if you have a single mother with five children, that's $55,000 a year based on $11,000 per child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there's
now,
no incentive to work.
To be fair, most of them don't have kids like that number of kids. But there's a lot more money out there than people realize. Almost an interesting wrinkle here from the deep state is that none of this poverty, of these welfare benefits, they're not counted as income when you determine whether somebody's poor. And that explains why we have rampant poverty in the United States, because the welfare state is not counted by the government. The taxpayers can pay for it, but it's invisible when it comes to all of the PR and statistics concerning poverty. So yeah, it's a good amount of money, and the worst thing though is that by removing the work requirement, you're going to push a lot of these families back into the social margin. Every child should have the example of at least one working adult in the household to serve as a role model of how you participate and succeed in society. And we had moved in that direction in the welfare system back in the 1990s when Clinton was president. We eliminated specifically the cash program that gave single moms cash when they didn't work. And we replaced it with a program that said, we're going to continue to aid you, but we expect you to do something to help yourself. And then we also added on to the earned income tax credit, which also had a work requirement in it. So the idea was that you would give people a lot of assistance, but you were at least expecting them to take or demanding that they take steps to help themselves. Right. That system is sort of a complementary, and it's much more effective in terms of raising income, obviously, than a system that just says, hey, here's a bunch of cash, here's a bunch of benefits, and we don't ask you to do anything at all. The other thing is that psychological studies and confirm common sense that working and accomplishing something in life is very deeply psychologically rewarding, and it's a lot more rewarding in the long term than just collecting money from the government. But in the short term, you can bribe people into short-term decisions that make it very difficult for them to really participate in society and undermine their life prospects in the long run. That's what this does. And then on top of this, most of these additional benefits are going to non-working single mothers, and it exacerbates the penalties that we have against marriage in the welfare system. So if you are, say, a low-income mother who makes maybe $20,000 a year and the father makes $20,000 a year, the welfare system currently, in all of its wisdom, says, as long as you don't get married, we'll give you a lot of stuff. But if you get married, we're going to put a marriage tax on you of around $10,000 a year.
Wow.
And take a lot of these benefits away. It's an insane system. It's kind of an incentive system from hell. And Biden has decided to make that worse.
Hey, Robert, now you said earlier, but they're not generally having five kids. But with incentives like this, number one, aren't they just going to be putting out more kids? And number two, is this also going to illegal immigrants?
Well, all illegal immigrants are going to become legal very soon, aren't they?
Yes.
If the president has his way. So, yes, they would get all this stuff. Now, currently, they would not get it. But they do get a whole ton of stuff because illegal immigrants have American-born children, and those children are entitled to most welfare. They're entitled to free education.
That's what I was getting at.
And they're entitled to medical care. This particular program, because it's sort of tied to parental work, they haven't historically, illegals haven't been able to get into it. But the kids do get food stamps. They can get some housing subsidies. They get free medical care. They get free education. So that's why illegal immigrants are actually fairly costly to the taxpayer. But they can make that much worse by saying, oh, you can get every single welfare benefit. And more importantly, we want to make sure that you get Social Security and Medicare. We wouldn't want to leave that out. And that ends up costing trillions and trillions of dollars when you grant amnesty.
Basically, Robert, Biden wants to turn dependency into a way of life for more and more and more people. And even, let's face it, as a draw to people who aren't even here yet.
Yes, it definitely he's doing that. I don't think they actually see it that way, per se. They tend to see that the poor people are victims rather than agents of their own success. And because they're victims, then we're just going to give them something without expecting them to be able to do anything.
Well,
and
that's
a terrible attitude to have toward people. It's just not true, actually.
All right. Well, fantastic, Robert. And thank you for the information. It's good for us to know this is coming. I do hope some of it gets shot down in the Senate, but who knows? How can people read more of your work, Robert?
My name is Robert Rector at the Heritage Foundation. And all of the things I just talked about, you could find just by searching in that way, Heritage Foundation, Robert Rector.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us. My gosh, you're a fountain of information. You're welcome back anytime.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Take care. Okay, up next is Michael Bailey Law. Have you written your will? You know, people ask that as if it's simple, but leaving the best legacy with all you've built, well, that takes wisdom, experience, a caring heart. So don't just write a will, write a legacy. Call Michael Bailey at 720-730-7274, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
Barber's Foods is up next. We bought, didn't we, a big order of meats from Barber's, so we're ready for the great taste on March 20th. Am I right?
Yes, I'm so excited. This looks amazing.
Exactly. Well, you know that on the 20th, our governor says don't eat meat. Well, he's wrong. And by the way, this stuff looks delicious, especially the chicken, by the way, of all things. I'm more into steak. Their chicken looks delicious. So don't obey your governor, folks. Obey your taste buds. Call or text 303-466-7338, or you can order online at barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barber's Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Truth contradicts reality. We're number one. Judicial Watch has sued the state of Colorado because a 2019 study showed that 40 of Colorado's 64 counties had voter registration rates exceeding 100% of the eligible citizen voting age population. This is the highest in the nation. Kim Munson here. Friday, Boulder County GOP Chair Teresa Watson sheds light on the important work they are doing regarding election integrity. Show sponsor Hal Van Herke updates us on the latest at Castlegate Knife and Tool. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell at Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with my blushing bride, Corey Pate. And on the line right now, we have the great Steve House. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. I am honored to be talking to Andy, but really honored to have Corey on board.
Wow. Oh, Steve,
that's,
you're so sweet.
Awesome.
You have traded up, and by the way, you have learned how to suck up, just like I do at home every single week.
And you married up. A big time married up.
I sure did. Well, Steve, what's on your mind this week?
You know, I as I mentioned in my text to you, you know, I had this interesting conversation this week. I was with a 80-something-year-old, probably 84, 85-year-old, and his son in his 60s, and we were having lunch talking about America. And the 80-something-year-old and the 60-year-old both said, I think it's over, right? You know, I think that, you know, when you look at it, you know, we've had all these conservative think tanks, people like Heritage and Hillsdale, and all this stuff's been operating for 50-plus years trying to educate Americans on why freedom, liberty, the Constitution, capitalism, free markets are so important. And yet in that same 50-year period, we've continued to march pretty substantially to the left. And so, you know, we were talking about it and said, you know, what happens? What if we have a revolution, right? I mean, you know, this is a what if, right? What if we have a revolution? Well, the one thing we know about revolutions, Andy and Corey, is that if you have one, whatever form of government you were structured under prior to that dies. It goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get to keep the Constitution, right? I mean, it's never been done that way. And so we decided and talked to a couple of other constitutional guys we know that there ought to be a sacred trust for the Constitution.
What do you mean by that?
So what does that? Yeah, so what does that mean? That means that the Constitution itself is placed in something that would keep it alive and understood in case you had to redo or go back to the Constitution of America. Well, what does that mean? Does he put it in a bank vault? No. It means that you have to educate a whole bunch of people who are willing to carry the responsibility of knowing the Constitution, the Federalist Papers. You got to get some people to really buy into it that are younger, you know, middle-aged like I am. You know, you've got to get that done, because if you don't get that done, you know, when the time comes that people finally reject socialism and the far move to the left, they're going to say, so exactly how did the Constitution work and what did it mean and how do free markets work in a more pure form? We've lost touch with that because we don't teach it in colleges or high schools. And now we're risking the fact that as we die off, get older and die off, that the essence of the Constitution goes away. So underlying what we're doing as Republicans, I think we have to find a way to make sure that we're teaching specific people who want to carry the Constitution forward.
You know, Steve, I love the idea of putting it in a sacred trust and of teaching it to people. But let me ask you this. Hasn't the Constitution for modern people and young people become something that they simply can't understand? It's long. All right. We're in an age where people have a 30-second mindset. I need to hear something I can understand very quickly. It's long. It's used in a language from over 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And people simply don't relate to it. Do we need to find a way to help people understand it fresh and understand the concepts of it without having to memorize every last piece?
You know, it's interesting you put it that way, because I would have told you I thought the Constitution is actually very short. You know, there's only 27 amendments. It's not a long document. I mean, compared to what we do in a single piece of legislation, the Constitution is this really, really small document.
Sure.
However, I do concur on the language. In some respects, Bibles, right? So you have the New Standard Edition. You have all these other editions of the Bible that are essentially telling the same story, but they're putting, you know, other words in or parentheses in to kind of highlight what they meant by a particular clause. I think we could do that. You're a movie buff. There was a movie, and I can't remember the name of it. I know Katie Holmes was in it. I know Jeff Daniels was in it, where he was the community historian. It was set into the future, right? And so you had this guy who knew how life worked way back when, right? And we sort of have that in a generation. And, yeah, maybe we need to update the language a little bit. You guys are the messenger experts, but the bottom line is I think we need to find a bunch of people who can raise their hand and say, you know what, I'll study it. Teach it to me. Teach me the Federalist Papers. Teach me what it meant for a free market to work the way the founders did, because this particular Constitution has endured longer than almost every other one ever, and it was the best written one, as far as I'm concerned, ever. We can't afford to let it go away because we just stopped paying attention.
Oh, it's absolutely spectacular. And by the way, in terms of long, I'm saying in terms of the attention span of what they want to see in a tweet.
Yeah.
But obviously, in setting up a nation, it's incredibly short and to the point and succinct. Here's what scares me, Steve. As younger generations come along who, quite frankly, have no understanding of the Constitution whatsoever. It's not because they can't. It's because, let's face it, the education system has no desire to teach it to them, right? What's really scared me is this, the brown shirt effect. These young people today, more than any young generation I've ever seen come along, want to control other people. They want to punish other people for not thinking like them, acting like them, buying what they buy, and all this kind of stuff. I've never seen such a control from young people.
Yeah, and the attack on history has just been mind-blowing. You know, I worked in inner-city schools in Denver about 20 years ago, and I had a class of fourth graders who were convinced that Abraham Lincoln owned slaves. And I know that now, it was laughable back then, but now we're seeing actually statues of Lincoln being taken down and removed. So, you know, finding a way to make the Constitution relatable and interesting to a generation that thinks Abraham Lincoln owned slaves, where do you start with that?
Well, you're bringing up two really important points. One is that, who teaches the Constitution today? Well, the problem is that teachers are created in universities,
right,
who don't like the Constitution. So how do the teachers themselves, who, you know, and not all of them, but How do the majority of teachers themselves, who don't really understand the significance of the different aspects of the Constitution, actually teach it in context, not just content, but in context to students? And the answer is they don't. The second thing is, how do you get young people to embrace it? You probably don't right now. What you need is people who are in their 40s and 50s to learn it really, really well, so that if things continue to get on the liberal left progressive path, when the time comes, you still have people who understand it well enough to say, you know what, if you're going to do that, if you're going to give away other people's money for things that make no sense whatsoever, I mean, quite frankly, I think that there are very, very few people who believe that if you've committed 9 murders and you're on death row and you don't have a family, you shouldn't get a stimulus check. It's not that hard to grasp that. What's hard for people to grasp is the distortion of markets, the distortion of property rights, the distortions of jurisdictional rights that have come with this Constitution in place. So I'm suggesting that we need to find people who are willing to learn it that are your age, not necessarily 18-year-olds just yet.
You know, you bring up a great point also, Steve, in that what about those who do teach this stuff in the schools? I hear so many people saying we need to have more Western Civ teaching. We need to have more American history teaching. Well, here's the problem. The people teaching that raised me. Okay. I was raised in a left-wing academic family. Okay. With, you know, master's degrees in education. Let me tell you something, Steve, when they teach Western Civ, a lot of teachers today, when they teach that, it is to bash it.
Right.
Okay. When they teach the Constitution, it is to undermine it. When they teach American history, it is to slant it. So it's almost, I mean, does it actually do any good to have these things taught more in today's schools?
Well, let me bring you up to date on something you may or may not know. You probably realize that CU put a conservative chair position, and each year it's occupied by somebody from around the country who's, you know, a teacher in a conservative school. I don't remember the exact name of the guy that's in it right now, but I know his story. He came from Claremont.
Is it,
so two things. Go ahead.
Is it kind of a token position, or?
It kind of is, right?
Okay.
So here's part of the problem with it, right? So you have a university where conservatism is called out, and you have a separate thing saying, okay, this, we're not all that serious about it, but we're serious enough to have one person who represents a conservative authority. Well, last time I knew, conservatism was actually the truth. So you're making the truth an exception, and you're putting it in a position. Okay, so then here's what happens to that guy, right? He's the guy, he's the attorney, who gave an opinion that Mike Pence, in fact, had the ability to tell states like Pennsylvania to take 5 more days, take 10 more days, figure out your electoral college problem, because it looked like the local legislators who said, hey, we're not in session, we can't address it, we need more time. Mike Pence could have given them more time, according to the guy that is the sitting professor at CU in the conservative chair slot. He is no longer allowed to teach at CU. So we have the truth not being taught, or the truth being dealt with as an exception, and the guy's getting paid not to teach because he actually was accused of helping to insider riot because he quoted something that was constitutionally accurate.
So it sounds like it's a controlled opposition type of position. Like you're allowed to oppose to a point. Okay.
That's right. That's right. Bruce Benson started it. It was great that Bruce did it. But when you think about the philosophical aspects of it, you know, this is a guy talking about the basic truths of the Constitution, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, inalienable rights, all this other stuff that we know is the truth. But he's held out in a separate position as if he is the exception, not the rule.
That's horrible. So you only have one token like that, and then you muzzle him. Hey, Steve, can we hold you over the break?
Sure.
All right, next up is Franktown Firearms. You know, with COVID, a lot of us aren't getting to the range enough, so our shooting skills get rusty. Practice, people. Get a membership at Franktown, and you can get a discount on your initiation fee. Call Franktown at, this is an easy-to-remember number, by the way, 720-770-7777. Or you can find them at klzradio.com.
Learn how to shoot with confidence at Franktown Firearms. Head trainer Karen Murray goes above and beyond Colorado state requirements in every course, from basic to advanced to tactical, providing practical training for real-world scenarios. Although the state of Colorado does not require lane time for CCW courses, you will shoot on the range during every class at Franktown because Karen believes your defensive shooting skills require practice. Classes are always small enough that everyone gets the instruction they need. For both members and non-members, the price of your class includes gun rentals, and the team at Franktown Firearms always keeps ammo in stock for you to purchase. Bring your own gun or rent one for no extra charge so you can try before you buy. Members receive a discount on all classes. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, we hear these words all the time on his ads talking about reverse mortgages, but let me say them again. Guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in your house. Does that sound great? We'll give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him. Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local, someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years, someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Okay, Purifoy Chevrolet. Corey, we bought a car at Purifoy. In a few words, can you tell us what was it like?
It was the easiest experience I've ever had. I don't like buying cars, but there was no pressure. They explained everything. Financing was a breeze.
And folks, she's not just doing an ad here. We talked about this at home. It was coming out of there. It was relaxing.
It was.
I've never come out of buying a car that relaxed. Well, Purifoy helps you forget about COVID while getting the car of your dreams. Relax a little bit. Go to Purifoy. Call them at 303-659-8311 or go to purifoychevrolet.com.
If you haven't walked through the Chevrolet showroom at Purifoy, it's a really fun experience. There's a guest book at the entrance, and you look through there. It's actually become sort of a vacation destination for Chevrolet enthusiasts who've come from other countries just to walk around and look at these gorgeous cars and purchase a vehicle. You know, you think of Fort Lupton as a small town, and it does have that small town personable feel, but the facilities at Purifoy Chevrolet are really stunning.
You know, I've had the chance to spend time with Rolly Purifoy, and he's such a genuine man. He is willing to do anything at that dealership. And in fact, we have seen him doing anything, washing windows, cleaning a floor, redoing the whole Corvette showroom. That's just who he is. He's a guy that is not afraid to get his hands dirty, to do the work. He's more of a servant leader than he is the leader that says, you got to go do this. So that makes me want to buy a car at Purifoy Chevrolet, and that should make you want to buy a car there too.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Jane with Faith Church in Loveland said, I have worked with Business Equipment Service for almost 7 years. As office manager, I will not change service providers. BES offers excellent service, and I recommend them to anyone who asks. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Corey Pate, and on the line we have Steve House. Steve, can we take a few minutes here and talk about the Colorado GOP chair race?
Yes, as soon as I give you just enough detail to tell you that it's John Eastman, who is called the visiting conservative scholar at CU that is not allowed to teach after offering an opinion about the Constitution to the public at large.
Now, are they just going to muzzle him or literally burn him as a heretic? I mean, have they decided yet?
He doesn't. He's not allowed to teach at the university. He just gets paid.
Oh, my.
Unbelievable. That is just sick. I mean, how can, and here's the thing, Steve. I understand most of the young people at CU have no idea this has even happened. They don't know. Okay. And I understand.
They wouldn't know, yeah.
Right. And I understand they're very, very left-leaning. But come on. If they do hear about that, don't they have to be raised? I know when I was a liberal, if I heard that, I'd be raising my eyebrow saying, why are we silencing other people like that?
Yeah, but you're talking about, I participated in a debate last week where I was one of eight panelists debating election fraud, four who thought there was election fraud and four who said there was not. And on the negative side, most of the people, their argument was we should not even have the debate because we're legitimizing the idea that there was an election fraud. Even though there were congressional seats decided by 9 votes, it's not just about the president. So a lot of times on the left side, they don't want to talk about an issue. We have to talk about every issue. There's nothing that we shouldn't be discussing on both sides.
I agree. I just never thought it would get to the point where we had to actually justify our right to talk about it. I mean, we're not just having to give our points. We're having to justify our right to give our points. It's crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. Okay. Colorado GOP chair race. And the reason I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this, and I'm not just saying this to you because you're on the air with me. Steve, I think you're the best Colorado GOP state chair, quite possibly, that I've ever seen. And I've seen some good ones. You were outstanding. I mean,
really
top to bottom, the fundraising, the leadership, the vision, so much of what you did. And now you're looking at five candidates, and they're all, you know, five good people wanting to lead the state. But you've also been in the position of being a candidate in a very blue trending district. And so you know what it's like to get the help you need or not get the help you need. What do you think we need to look for in these candidates?
I think that it'd be great if they understood the actual problem. And I think, you know, there's always the need for, you know, more money, better candidates, more voter registration. But the reality of it is Colorado, for the Republican Party, Colorado's biggest problem is seven counties: El Paso, Douglas, Boulder, Denver, Arapahoe, Adams, and Jefferson. And if you look at the statistics on those seven counties, Denver, Boulder, and El Paso, Douglas used to offset each other for the R's. They don't anymore. There was a big move upward in Democratic control of Denver, Boulder, and the Republicans lost ground in El Paso and Douglas, and then Arapahoe, Adams, and Jefferson went 8 points to the left. If you don't fix those counties, if you don't know what to do to fix those counties, then it doesn't matter. And as much as I believe that the whole state is the responsibility of the state chairman, in this particular time, the state chairman better focus on those seven counties and the county chairs that are out there.
And what could the state chair try to do?
I think, you know, you have to run it like you run a campaign, which means you've got to walk into every business in those counties. You got to walk into every church in those counties. You got to talk to people in the schools. You got to engage the people who don't always or don't support us, but don't always go against us the way we think. We got to go to the Urban League, the NAACP, the Hispanic Coalition. Those are the folks that you have to sit down with and say, why don't you vote Republican? When we look at it, most of what we believe in from a faith-based scenario, from a conservative financial scenario, most of Hispanics and African Americans would probably side with us on a lot of those issues. You got to pay attention. You got to go out and go after it.
Well, it seems to me like we just don't have those conversations with voters. I know a good friend of mine is a Democrat, pretty hardcore, and she thinks she's a lot more liberal than she really is. But the times when we've sat down and actually talked about issues, she sat back and looked at me and just said, well, I'm not that much different than you are. And I just feel like there are so many people out there who are conservative and they just don't know it yet.
It's the label, Corey. I mean, I think it's if you label yourself red or Republican, some people see that as a negative label. If you label yourself as a Democrat, for the majority, including unaffiliated voters in the state of Colorado, you're just okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of heart. No one's going to kill you, not kill you. No one's going to give you a real hard time about being a left-leaning blue.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to get a hard time from a fair amount of people about being red, because the problem with red is, and I am clearly a red, a lot of people who are Republicans, and you guys are the exception to this, will not walk into a room full of Democrats for fear that they'll become more Democrats. You have to understand well enough to have that discussion, and I think that's part of our problem right now.
Steve, do you think a big part of the problem is we have such a label, as you said, such a stereotype, that before they'll even listen to us, we got to get our people to break through that?
We do. I mean, think about this, Andy. As I say, all right, Andy Pace, you're a congressman. I want you to support a bill that allows children to cross the border by themselves and automatically become citizens. And Andy Pace says, no, sir, I do not support that. My next thing is, Andy, you don't like kids. You're anti-children. And it's
how did you know?
It's sick. You know, I can say you're anti-immigrant, you're anti-African-American, you're anti, you know, what you're trying to do is tell me that capital markets, free markets, and the Constitution give everybody the right opportunity, but by saying no to socialist agenda items, you get labeled, and Republicans are getting labeled, and they don't know how to fight back.
Well, do you think that some of it is that we're so quick to just say no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's it, exactly. That's why when you walk into a room and say, okay, you Republicans, which should it be, a $1,400 check or a $2,000 check? Neither. Well, I don't want to hear that if I'm like an unaffiliated voter or, you know, somebody in poverty, because I don't really know what that means for the government to give me a $1,400 check. I don't know what that means in the long-term debt or anything else.
Right. Well, and I think, too, sometimes we need to just take a step back and ask a question of them. So when they say, what do you think, a $1,400 check or a $2,000 check, I would like to come back and say, well, how do you feel that's going to benefit them? How does that help them succeed in the long term? Put it back on them, get them talking, and then that opens up a conversation.
Yeah, or you could, I agree with that, or you could go back and say it should be $6,287, not $1,400 or $2,000, because if you take $1.9 trillion and divide it by the people who make under the threshold, they would get $6,200 and some dollars. I'm not sure why anyone would accept $1,400 or $2,000. Oh, by the way, the other 91% of the money that you're not getting is going to things that have already been paid for, have money waiting on them, or are irrelevant to COVID. Just thought you ought to know. I don't agree. $1,400 or $2,000, if we're going to do it, I want $6,287 to be written.
I have a simpler answer. I just give him Steve House's phone number. And I say, talk to him. Steve, thanks so much for...
I learned it from you guys when I came onto the scene and you were talking messaging before anybody else understood what it was. So you guys need to take credit for it.
Steve, how can people reach you?
You can always reach me at Steve at houseforcolorado.com.
Fantastic, sir. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. And that
good
is,
to talk to you both.
You bet. That's it for hour number one. If you missed this hour, it replays at 6. Coming up next, we're going to have Buncho Balloons creator Josh Malone after the break. Until then, keep it right here at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.